Amen. All right. Well, the title of the sermon this morning is Biting and Devouring One Another. Biting and Devouring One Another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to preach this sermon, Lord. It's an uncomfortable one, maybe to some people. But Lord, we all need to hear these things in your word this morning. I pray that you fill me with the Spirit and boldness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let's focus in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." And so what I'm preaching about is biting and devouring one another. And mainly and specifically, I'm talking about gossip, talebearing, and other like things. Maybe just being hurtful with your words towards other people, trying to make people feel stupid, and things like that. And that's not a godly attribute. And if you look in these scriptures, it's saying there's two different concepts going on here. One is in verse number 13, it says, "But use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So what does God want us to do with our lives and towards our brothers and sisters in Christ? He wants us to by love serve one another. Amen. Okay? And not to bite and devour one another. As a matter of fact, he says to take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Hey, you shouldn't be trying to eat people up, and you shouldn't allow people to eat you up either. It says take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And hey, as a Christian, you shouldn't be trying to bite and devour other Christians and make them feel stupid and do things that would make them feel like they're not as good as you. You know, that's not a godly attribute, and that's what the scriptures are saying this morning. That, you know, if you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so doing these acts is not a godly thing. It's a work of the flesh. That's what the Bible says. And so if you just think about the words bite and devour, you know, what does it make you think of? It makes you think of eating, doesn't it? You know, you take a bite, then you devour it. You know, you take that prime rib, you take a bite, you devour it, you eat it, right? And so Paul is warning the people of the Galatians church not to bite and devour one another. And I would say that I'm talking about by using malicious words and your tongue to do things that it shouldn't be doing, which is talking crap about people, you know, just talking behind people's backs. And it shouldn't be done. It shouldn't be done in this church. And look, I'm not like, I don't know who all's talking crap about each other, okay? I'm just saying, this is something that needs to be preached from time to time. And we need to get our tongues in check. Sometimes we need to get our hearts in check. And on this issue, look, it's everybody does this sometimes, all right? And I'm not trying to destroy anybody today. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you if your heart's not right with God when it comes to these things. Then I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to exhort you to stop what you're doing, think about what you're doing, and change, okay? Repent. Repent of that sin. So the term take heed means to listen and pay attention. So when the Bible says to take heed, that's what it's saying. Hey, take heed to this. Listen up and pay attention. Wipe that sleep out of your eyes. Pay attention to what the Word of God is telling you this morning. So one act here is spiritual, serving one another with love. That's spiritual, isn't it? Amen. That's what the Bible says. But the other act is carnal. Yep. So talking behind each other's backs, gossiping about each other, tale-bearing, things that you shouldn't be repeating to other people. Hey, maybe you catch a part of a conversation that's going on, and then you take that to somebody else. That's not your business to do that.
Amen. That's good.
That's not your business. If it's not your business, if you don't have some authority in the situation, or the situation is not about you, then you should not repeat those things. All right? Keep them to yourself. You know, have some discretion. So people are starting to sweat bullets right now. But hey, listen, everybody gets in trouble in this aspect at some point in their Christian life. So, I mean, really, I'm taking that, you know, that spiritual shotgun. I'm just going to shoot holes through you this morning. But I also want to help you to fix it. Hey, maybe you have a problem in this area and it needs to be fixed. Well, hey, I'm going to give you the solution to how to fix it at the end of the sermon. So today in churches, despite the fact that over and over again, the Bible exhorts us and commands us to love and serve one another, and be good to our brothers and sisters in Christ. With some people, I see the exact opposite. And I just don't understand it. You know, sometimes, yeah, we slip up, but to be malicious on purpose and to make someone feel stupid on purpose and to bite and devour each other in the church, these things ought not to be happening.
Yeah, man. It's good.
You know, have some Christian integrity in your heart and stop trying to have the preeminence in the church and stop trying to be better than everybody else. Because look, if we compare ourselves amongst ourselves, we're not wise. So we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to other Christians. And that's what happens. That's where lusting and envying comes in. So, and I see some people that do bite and devour and treat other people like dirt or trash or talk trash or throw out passive-aggressive insults to people or try to make people bad. Or make people feel bad with their mouths, using their mouths as a weapon. We're starting factions within the church. We're causing division. Look, all those things cause division. Yeah. And so that's not what this church is about. Look, we're called to be in unity.
Right.
Okay? And how are we going to be in unity if we're all talking crap about each other?
Amen.
How are we going to be one unit that's out there trying to do the things and the works of God when we're all just against each other, behind each other's backs? And that tells me that there's people that are walking after the flesh, not walking after the Spirit, and they want to just be, I don't know. I don't know what the purpose of it is. Why someone would do that? Why someone would want to treat their brother and sister in Christ like garbage and talk behind their back and make other people not like them? You know, that's what causing division is. You say, hey, I don't want to be around that person because that person's, you know, their parenting style is just not very good. Or maybe they're using some kind of, you know, medicine that I wouldn't approve of. Or maybe they're, I mean, I'm just trying to think of things. They're worldly, you know, just whatever. Whatever you're trying to, no, obviously you should stay away from people that are being wicked, okay, doing wicked acts, and you know that they're doing those things. But you know what? There's a way to handle those things, and that's the pastor. Hey, if someone's doing something wicked, come talk to me. Look, I don't want to hear, guess what I saw? I saw Brother Ross was smoking cigarettes after church. It might have been a blunt. I don't know. I think he should be kicked out of church. Look, don't come to me and tell me someone's smoking cigarettes, all right? I don't care. God cares. You know, and look, if it's marijuana cigarettes, then yeah, I do want to know. But I'm talking about just cigarettes, you know, whatever. There's things I don't need to know. Okay, I guess what I saw, I was over at so-and-so's house, and they had DVDs from the world all over their walls. Pastor Thompson, you need to throw them out. No, not going to throw them out. Don't tell me about their DVDs, okay? Don't tell me about their Xbox. Don't tell me about all that stuff. I'm talking about something that someone's doing, like fornication, things that you could be kicked out of church for. Hey, I do want to know about those things so that it's not just festering inside of the body of Christ, and I can deal with those things. And look, I don't want to kick people out, but sometimes people need to be kicked out. And I'm not on a hair trigger to kick people out in case everybody that knows me knows I'm not trying to kick people out all the time. I want to try to help people. I want to try to restore people if they're in sin, and I want to help them. But, you know, biting and devouring each other, it is a wicked sin. It's, you know, and it can spill over into railing. And railing will get you kicked out of church. So if someone's just railing and saying wicked things about people that aren't true, that's wicked. I do want to know if someone's just constantly railing against someone. Hey, I don't care who you are. I don't care if it's my wife. I'll kick her out and I'll step down in a second and let somebody else take over. I'm not kidding. If my wife is a railer, She's going to get kicked out, and I'll kick myself out too. Because I'm the pastor, and I have to have my house in order. So, number one this morning, biting and devouring, or, you know, and I just want to focus on the things that are said by the tongue. So, biting and devouring, things said by the tongue. So, behind those teeth right here in your mouth right here, there's a little red devil that rests behind those teeth. A little red devil behind the pearly white gates. I'm sure you've heard me say that before. But that's where the gossip, that's where the tale-bearing, that's where the evil speaking and cutting people down with your mouth comes from. That little member that's in the back of your mouth. It's a really small member of your body. But you know, that body, that little member in your body can just be set on fire of hell, the Bible says. Turn over to James chapter 3. James chapter number 3. So the little red devil behind the pearly white gates is always getting you in trouble, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, the Bible says we can't tame our tongues completely. We can't. And so we need, but should we try to focus on taming our tongue? It's a hard thing. It really is. You know, you smack your thumb with a hammer, and if you come from my background, you know what the next word coming out of my mouth is? It's not something good. I'll just tell you that right now. And those are things that are coming out of your mouth that you know, you don't want to say. But, you know, no man can tame the tongue. Look at James 3:5. It says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Some of the things that come out of our mouths are set on fire of hell, the Bible teaches. They're not good things to be repeating. Now, am I saying that you're going to hell? No, I'm saying Christians can say things that are straight out of hell, though. And they're things that we shouldn't be saying. So look at verse 7. It says, and every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. So you're talking about the birds. You know, have you ever seen where people have like eagles on their arms or falcons on their, on their shoulders or whatever? And, you know, snake charmers can, you know, make the cobras like whatever, not bite them. things like that. But it says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That little red thing in there. That's what the Bible says, right? It says it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And so we don't have complete control over that tongue. It says the tongue can no man tame. No man. No man is sinless either, right? So we are going to use our tongue sometimes in ways that we don't want to. It says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. We're made in God's image, and yet people will sit there and say all kinds of wicked things to a person. You know, I see saved people saying things that I just think, man, you shouldn't be saying that.
Yeah, amen.
And, you know, I'm a saved person. I've said some things that I wish I hadn't have said. Even as a saved person, I've said things I wish I hadn't have said. Because, you know what, the tongue can no man tame. But we should try to put a bridle on that bad boy, right? We should try to control ourselves and to not say the things that we want to say. Hey, you shouldn't say everything that comes right into your mind. The Bible says to be slow to speak. Amen. Quick to hear, slow to speak. You know, there's a reason why you should be slow to speak. Because you know what? Sometimes when you're fast to speak, you're going to say something stupid. You're going to say something rude. You're going to say something mean. And some people just don't realize that they're doing it. Because they do it so much that they just don't realize that what they're saying, it's like, hey, did you realize that what you said was offensive? I mean, do you have any idea that you just hurt that person's feelings? And people just don't care. But you should care, because we're supposed to be serving one another in love, not talking crap about one another. Not cutting people down because you find their methods of breastfeeding inferior to yours. Or whatever kind of medicine. I brought the medicine up. Hey, some people go too crazy on the The natural stuff. That's why I like to make fun of it. Because look, garlic drops isn't going to cure every single thing and ailment in your body. Okay? So sometimes it's good to take antibiotics. Oh, well, that's witchcraft, Pastor Thompson. No. I think sometimes some of the other stuff delves into witchcraft.
Right.
Thinking and believing and all these different herbal remedies all the time instead of thinking and saying, hey, maybe I should ask God what he wants. Maybe I should ask God to help heal me. But you think that every natural remedy is the answer? Hey, when you got an ear infection, go to the doctor and get some antibiotics.
Good.
Well, it's like, Pastor Thompson, you're stepping on toes. Yeah, I am. If you want to believe in the garlic drops, that's fine. I'm like way delving out of my sermon notes here. But what I'm saying is that, hey, just because someone doesn't believe in the garlic drops doesn't mean that you're a better a judge of medicine than they are.
Yep.
Don't get mad. I see some salt. I see some salt. But you know what? I'm just going to try to be balanced on the subject. Hey, if you got a broken leg, you're going to put some garlic drops on that too? Go to the stinking doctor.
All right. Amen.
Oh, you know, I'm just going to try to see if God heals me and walk it off. Hey, you got to have your bones set, okay? If you blow your knee out, you got to go have surgery done on it. You know, not all things that doctors do are bad. I'll say that a lot of the things that doctors do are bad these days.
Sure. Yep.
Hey, I'm trying to be balanced here. Fair and balanced. All right? I'm not Fox News, but I am fair and balanced. Anyway, but what I'm saying is, hey, don't try to look down your nose at somebody else because they don't do every single medical thing that you think that they should do.
Amen.
If they have their kid at the hospital, they're not going to hell because of that. They're not a bad parent because of that. Maybe they're just afraid to do a home birth. You ever thought of that? Maybe they don't want to clean up all that blood and stuff. Maybe they're strong enough to say no to vaccines. No! And, you know, the hospital thing, it's a lot of pressure. But don't sit there and look down your nose at someone just because you did a home birth and they didn't.
Yeah, right.
Look, I'm not saying anybody here has done that. I'm just like thinking of things that might trigger you. But anyway, no, just kidding. You can be mad at me. You can use your little tongue against me. Anyway, but the Bible says we can't tame our tongues. And look, you don't need to talk bad about people for the way that they do things. You know, unless it's super wicked, okay? But those types of things are not something that's found in the Bible.
Right.
Okay? So Jesus said, he that is whole needeth not a physician.
Yeah, right.
So what is he saying? Well, there are physicians. And sometimes if you're not whole, you need to see a physician. Okay. I mean, isn't that kind of what it's saying?
Yep.
Now, he's the great physician. We should obviously always go to him first. But look, if your bone is sticking out of your arm, okay, you know, you can pray and ask God to put the bone back in. And maybe that would happen out in the wilderness somewhere. Who knows? I'm not saying God can't do something. I'm just saying that the likelihood of that bone going back in is probably very little, very small. And just know this, that God said, no, go to the hospital. I'm not putting the bone back in. Go to the doctor. So anyway, let's move on here. So skip down to verse, where was I at? The tongue is full of deadly poison. Look at verse 9, it says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Hey, don't bless God and then curse your brother and sister in Christ. Don't bless God and cut down your brother and sister in Christ. Don't bless God and then come to church and then talk trash about the pastor. Don't bless God and then come to church and talk about your so-called friend. You're friendly to their face, but behind your back, you're talking mad smack about them and being a hater. It's wicked. Shouldn't be done. Skip down to verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. A good conversation. Hey, well, what is a good conversation? Well, that word conversation means lifestyle. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. So bitter and envying, strife in your hearts. That's what we're talking about here, because that's where these things come from, the bitterness that's in your hearts. the strife that's caused from just being covetous. Because really, your problem with someone generally is your own problem. And it's something that you're jealous, or not jealous, you're envious of in their life. Hey, well, you know, they got a good husband, so you're just hating on them. That's weird. I mean, if you think about it, that is weird. It is. Because, you know, you should be content with the husband that you have. You should be content with the wife that you have and not be covetous and envious of other people. And then that you use that covetous and bitterness and envy and strife in your hearts, and then you just cut people down with it. Because you're not content with the way things are in your own life. Because your job isn't as good as so-and-so's. You don't have as much money as so-and-so's. Your car isn't as nice as so-and-so's. And that's really where war and envy and strife comes from, is from the bitterness in your heart. It's covetousness. If you boil it down to a commandment, it's covetousness. Envying and strife. It says, this wisdom descendeth, in verse 15, is not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Does that sound like a godly attribute? Earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. So envy and strife is not being part, you know, you're not walking in the spirit. You're walking in the flesh. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So the type of people that are pure and peaceable and gentle, easily entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, are them that make peace. Hey, instead of being envious and strifeful, why don't you just try to make peace with people? Hey, when you see someone make a stupid comment to someone, maybe take that person aside and say, hey, you know, it's kind of rude. Try to help make peace with that person. You know, that's the type of people we need in this church, is people that will make peace instead of saying, oh yeah, I heard him say that, it was so rude. And then you start with the strifing. You start with being a strife monger yourself, and you just jump in with their little clique. We shouldn't have cliques here in this church. Look, I'm not saying you have to be best friends with everybody. We all hold hands that are in a circle all the time. Look, there's going to be people that just aren't up your alley personality type-wise. But it doesn't mean that you need to talk crap behind their back. Okay? So the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 4, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 30 says, a sound heart is the life of flesh, but envy the rottenness of bones. So you know what? If you're an envious person and you're a strifeful person and you're a talebearer and you're always gossiping about other people, you know what? Your bones are rotten. It's a rottenness of the bones. You don't, you know, you wait, you think you're going to feel good about yourself by propping yourself up and making others look bad. But you know what? It makes you, you know what? At the end of the day, it just makes you feel like garbage. Because you know in your heart, if you look in the mirror, you'll realize that you're not as good as you think you are. Everybody, if you just look in the law of the perfect law of liberty, right, you're going to see, hey, I got some problems of my own I need to deal with. Right. I guess maybe I should stop focusing on what everybody else is doing and start focusing on my life and how I can improve it. Amen. Envy is a feeling of discontent or covetousness with regard to one to another's advantages, success, possessions, etc. So let me read that again. This is what envy is. Okay, when I'm talking about envy for the rest of the sermon, you should understand what I'm saying. Envy is a feeling of discontent or covetousness with regard to another's advantages, success, possessions, etc. And it's to regard with someone with maliciousness. And what is maliciousness? Well, it's something that you don't like them so much that you're going to try to do bad things to them. You're going to try to say bad things to make other people hate them and then ostracize them from the rest of the group. You know who does that? The world does that. Yeah. You know what place does that? The place you work at does that. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to, you know, stab people in the back, talk bad about each other so this person who's better than them doesn't get promoted. That's the kind of things that people do at my work. You know, once you're you're in the spot where you could be promoted, you're kind of in the middle pack where you're like upgraded to do certain things, then the haters come. And everybody that's on your crew that day is going to try to show why you aren't as good as they are. That's wicked. We shouldn't be doing that. You know what? Whoever the boss is, that's who you should be obeying. That's who you should be listening to. Don't sit there and try to make it your own thing.
Yeah.
About you. I could do it better. We shouldn't be acting like that. Yeah. We should listen and obey our boss. That's what God said to do.
Amen.
And again, I'm running into stuff that's not part of the sermon, but turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. You were in James chapter 3. Let's look at James chapter number 4. In James chapter number 4, let's look at verse number 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have, you cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. So where do wars and fightings come from? The Bible says, come not they hence even of your lust that war in your members? The things you want, the things you desire, the things that are someone else's that you want, the attributes, the characteristics of someone else that's not you, you want. And that's where emulations, you think of that word emulations, that's where you're trying to copy someone because you can't be yourself because yourself is just too bad of a person to deal with. Really, I mean, that's what it is. Have you ever been around someone that's just all they do is copy other people? They don't really have their own personality. So those types of people, you know, that emulation is a sin. You know, emulation is a sin of the flesh to copy everything that everybody else does. Hey, have your own personality. And if you're a personality, if you as a person suck, then maybe you need to get better. Seriously. Don't, you know, if you're just so sucky that you have to copy everybody else, then just be a better person. Now take a look at this book and let it change you. Read this book and let it change you. Listen to preaching, edifying preaching that helps you to get better. You know, I mean, I love listening to online preaching. But hey, if every sermon you click on is about the homos, maybe you need to click on one about, hey, how you can be a better person. And those aren't the ones that get the clicks. The ones that get the clicks are the ones about the queers, the ones about, you know, hating people or whatever. And look, I love those sermons. And I do click on them, okay? I'm just saying that sometimes we need a spiritual kick in the pants.
Yeah.
And we need to listen to preaching that is, you know, but when you look at the numbers, if you just go through any YouTube page of any pastor you listen to and look at which ones get the most clicks. One's about false prophets. One's about, you know, it's not how you can get the gifts of the Holy Spirit, yeah, or preaching about the Holy Spirit or preaching about Jesus. A lot of the times it's just preaching about stuff that is your hobby horse.
Mm-hmm.
The post-trib rapture, Israel. Mm-hmm. Those ones get a lot of clicks. But why don't you click on some that'll help you with your life?
Amen. It's good.
So I'm just saying be balanced. Be fair, be balanced. You know, listen to some other stuff every once in a while. You don't have to only listen to those ones. You know, and I believe me, if anybody knows me, they know I like to click on ones that like get me fired up about certain things. But I mean, we need to have a balance in our Christianity, because if that's your balance, if that's all you're in it for, then you're going to be disappointed someday.
Yep.
You're going to get to the point where it's like, this homo sermon is really not helping me in my situation right now. My marriage is failing. I guess I'll go to the homo sermon. I mean, you got to go to something else.
Amen.
So the Bible says this. Look at verse number 4. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? You see how these things are tied together, talking about, you know, wars and lust in your members and your flesh. And then it talks about the spirit that dwell within us lusteth to envy. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about your spirit. It's talking about the spirit that you have lusteth to envy. That means you're wanting to be covetous of other people's stuff. You want to have the preeminence over other people and to make yourself, prop yourself up and make you the coolest person in the room. You know who you should worry about thinking you're the coolest person in the room? God. You know, and if you're doing the things that He wants you to do, you're walking in the Spirit, you're doing the things and not walking in the flesh, you know what? You are going to be the coolest person in the room to God. But if you're biting and devouring one another, you're not the coolest person in the room to God. You're not the coolest person in the room to anybody, unless they just have no discernment. So the Bible says this, but He giveth more grace in verse 6. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Hey, what's the medicine for you when you're lusting to envy? Well, how about be afflicted? Mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Hey, if everything you do is just funny and you're never serious, you know, that's not being humble in the sight of the Lord. Amen. There's a time to quit joking. There's a time where, you know, you got to get serious.
Good.
Not everything's a joke.
Amen.
And hey, when it comes to you biting and devouring other people in the church, that's not a joke.
Amen.
That's not funny. And even if you're using your mouth to be funny about that person, it's still not right.
Amen.
God is not pleased with that. So it says in verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. What's it talking about? This all ties together, doesn't it? Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? So you're judging your brother and sister. You're speaking evil one of another. And look, speaking evil doesn't necessarily mean what you think it means. But speaking evil can just be, evil just means that you're doing bad, that something harm is happening to somebody.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's like some witchcraft or something that you're trying to say. Just speaking evil of someone could be something that damages that person in other people's eyes,
yep.
Damages that person in the church's eyes, damages that person's in their own eyes. Because if they think, hey, this person, all these people think all this stuff about me, what's the point of me coming here anymore?
Mm-hmm.
If you can't even trust the people in this room right here, then why even come to church?
Amen.
I don't want people to feel like that when they come here.
Yeah, that's good.
I want people to feel like, hey, Brother Ryan's in my corner, Brother Anthony's in my corner, and hey, I know that they're not speaking bad behind my back. I know I got Brother Ross in my corner. I know I got Brother Evan in my corner. Hey, they're trying to serve me and do and be loving towards me, not doing harm towards me.
Yeah, amen.
Wouldn't you like to be in this building and think that? I hope you feel that way. I hope there isn't people talking behind each other's back all the time and that's all you can do. That's your hobby. If it is, you need to change it.
Amen.
Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Like, Pastor Thompson, I didn't come here this morning to get picked on. Well, you know, the Bible picks on you sometimes, doesn't it? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. What is evil speakings? Again, it's speech that can hurt other people. Speech, you know, you're like, well, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. No, words can hurt you.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, when the Bible, when Jesus comes back, it says that he's going to destroy people by the sword of his mouth.
Right.
You know, words can hurt people. They're going to make you explode. Okay? So our words can hurt people. The things that you say can dig down inside their people and make them feel bad. Do you want people to feel bad? Is that what you want? I don't understand it. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know what he's saying there? hey, let all these things, hey, stop your envying, stop your evil speaking, stop your malice, stop your guile. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, they may grow by thereby. Hey, he's saying, why don't you read the Bible? Why don't you read the Bible and get rid of all this garbage that's in your heart and all this garbage that's in your mind and all this garbage that's coming out of your mouth?
Amen.
Pick up the Bible and read it. Maybe you'll feel a little bit different about the way you are. Hey, if you have the Word of God in your heart, maybe you won't have so much time to talk about other people.
Good.
So let's see the solution. Okay, number two, let's see the solution to fix to those that bite and devour. Now, I'm talking about, look, I don't know who's biting and devouring here. But what I do know is that God has a solution and a way for you to help yourself. He wants to help you. Stop being a dirty, rotten, no good backstabber. Someone that prates and says wicked things about their brother and sister in Christ. Hey, he's got a way to fix you. Oh, thou backstabber. Oh, thou trash talker. Oh, thou talebearer. Only telling half the tale. You know that game Campfire and people play it, they're like, and I think people just, you know, if people actually were honest, it probably would come back somewhat near the same. But then when you get it back, you know what I'm talking about? That game Campfire? The game Campfire is when it's done right and honestly, I'm sure that would be like, you know, it'd be like it comes out King James and comes back NIV, it's still kind of the same. But when people play that game in church, when they're talking, you know, they hear a story, isn't it funny how those stories come back and they're nothing near what was told in the beginning? And that's when people, like in that game Campfire, if it's done correctly, it's gonna be a little bit different, but it's not gonna be totally crazy. But we should, when you play the game Campfire in church, guess what? People are going to twist those things and say things that weren't added. Maybe they only had half the information when they told the other person or whatever. And maybe some people are twisting the story on purpose to try to make other people feel bad. And that's not right. So let's turn to the solution. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being in what? One accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Hey, you know what's going to help you? Is if you esteem other people in this room better than yourselves, and you don't think you're better than everybody else. That's what's going to help you. Having one accord, one mind. Hey, what's the one accord that we want to do? We want to reach this world for Christ. How are we going to reach the world with Christ when everybody's biting and devouring one another and causing people to drop out of church, causing people to feel bad about themselves, causing people to, hey, I'm just going to go to another church. This church is too hard for me. You men of Zeruiah are too hard for me. You're way better than everybody in every single way, shape, or form. I can't believe that person went and saw Avengers. Hey, well, why don't you let them get mature before you just judge them as a heretic going to hell? By the way, I didn't go to the theater to see the Avengers, okay? But anyway, look what it says in verse number 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, some people will take this verse out of context, too. This is not saying to be a busybody, okay? Being a busybody in other men's affairs is not what God wants you to do. Not trying to get in other people's business and find out, oh, the dirty secrets of so-and-so. We all have dirty secrets in this room, don't we? We all have things in this room that we'd rather not tell in front of other people. We're not supposed to confess our sins to each other. And you shouldn't be confessing sins of other people to other people. Why don't you let them deal with that with God? But it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. others. So we should be helping others, not, you know, looking, you know, stop focusing on yourself so much and look at the things that other people are going through and try to help them. That's what it's talking about. Well, this is mine being you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Hey, instead of thinking you're the best around, you're the next Karate Kid or something, you know, why don't you look at yourself of no reputation? You're not the best. You're the worst. If you start thinking of yourself a little worse than you really think you are, then maybe God can help you. Maybe God can help your unhumble heart.
Right.
Instead of being a strifer.
Yep.
Strifer, no strifey. Don't be a strifer. All right? So it says he took the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. You know what God did? He took himself a form of a man. His own creation. You know, he made himself of no reputation. He didn't say, you know, I'm the king. I was born in Jerusalem. You know, he was born in Bethlehem. He was born amongst animals. He was born in a barn, basically. There was, you know, people came, angels came, and people, shepherds and things like that, and the kings came to see him and things like that. But that was a few and far. Not everybody even realized who he was, you know. And he was the king of glory. And he came down of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So let me back it up here again. It says, let this mind, verse 5, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what was in his mind to be of no reputation? To be in the form of a servant? Where did we begin this sermon at? To serve one another with love. And Christ loved us, and he came down in the form of a servant so he could carry our burden every single step to the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
That's humble. So when God says that let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, think about that the next time you want to talk bad behind someone's back, before you try to ruin someone else's reputation. Think about how Christ's mind was and how your mind is supposed to be like Christ. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So how can I get rid of my envy and strife, Pastor? How can I get rid of that? Well, we already saw, you know, how we're supposed to have the mind of Christ and we're supposed to, you know, think about the way he was and apply that to us. Well, let's look back where we started in Galatians chapter 5, and let's look at number 6, verse number 16. I'm only going to have you turn one other place besides this for the rest of the sermon. So this will be our second to the last verse I'd have you turn to this morning. How can I be rid of my envy and strife this morning? Well, look at verse 16 in Galatians chapter 5. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, it sounds so simple, Pastor. You know, how can I walk in the Spirit? Well, do the things that the Spirit would want you to do. Serve one another with love. Hey, instead of talking trash behind people's back, why don't you help them?
Amen.
Why don't you, you know, help that person? If you're so spiritual, why don't you help them be more spiritual?
Amen. Right. That's good.
That's the things that we should be doing. Hey, well, they're just, you know, they only come to church once a week. Help them be more spiritual.
Amen.
Encourage them. Say, hey, brother, I missed you in church last week. You know, where were you? You know, there's nothing wrong with a little prodding too, but you know, how can you help them? Well, help them be more spiritual. Some people just need some help, you know, in that area. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Are you always going to be walking in the Spirit? No. You're not always going to be walking in the Spirit. But you know, if you feed your spiritual man more than you feed the unspiritual man, the dead flesh that you have, then you're going to walk in the Spirit more than you walk in the flesh. So these things, it says you can't do the things that you would when you're not walking in the Spirit. You're going to walk in the flesh. You're going to do the things and the lusts of the flesh. It says, but if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variants, emulations, strife, heresies, or seditions, heresies. So strife is one of the works of the flesh. That's what we've been talking about the whole sermon, right? Envyings is another thing that's not a spiritual thing. It's a bad thing. It's a sin. Murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not saying if you do these things, you're not saved. That's not what it's saying. This is what false prophets do. They'll say, well, see, if you do those things, you're not saved. It's a work of the flesh. If you're already saved, you still have the flesh, okay? You still have to deal with that flesh, but you have a new man that you can walk in the Spirit, okay? And false prophets and heretics will get a hold of that and twist it, but that's not what I'm saying. But you know, the people that do those things, there's people that aren't saved that do those things, and they're not walking the Spirit, and they are going to hell. They're not going to heaven. So when you do those things, you're doing the things that people that are not going to heaven are doing. Okay? So it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And that's how it ends right there. So what is the lesson to be learned today? Let us not be desirous of vainglory, things that, you know, it's just you want to glorify yourself and make yourself look good. But you know what? It's just vanity.
Yeah.
Why don't you just make yourself look good in front of God? You know, and do the things that He wants you to do. Keep His commandments. Do good to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And look, there's tons of verses about loving one another. And I'm not going to go to them all today because I'm almost done. But let me have you turn to one. John chapter 13. This will be the last scripture we turn to this morning. John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. This is Jesus speaking. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. It's not just something that He suggests. It's something He commands. That you love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. That's the commandment from Jesus. It's a new commandment He gave. He says that you love one another like I've loved you. Can you say that this morning about your brothers and sisters in Christ, that you love one another the way Christ loved you? It's a hard commandment to keep. Some people are not very lovable. But you know what? You probably weren't very lovable to Christ either. When He bore your sins on the cross of Calvary, when every single sin that you've ever done, from the first sin you ever made to the day you died, all those sins were on Him, and He had to go through 3 days and three nights of hell. If He had to die for your sins, you're a dirty, rotten person too, just like everybody else is, okay? So it says, by this shall all men know that you're My disciples if you have love one to another. Hey, you want to show that you're a Christian? Hey, have love towards your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
By this shall all men know that you're My disciples. Hey, how do you know that he's a disciple of Jesus? Well, he loves his brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a good way to show it, isn't it? So before I end, I just want to have you ask yourself this question. Do I love my fellow Christians like the Lord Jesus Christ loved me? It's a good question to ask. And that's the benchmark according to these verses, isn't it? So that's a tough... Hey, why don't we just focus on getting there? Because you're probably not going to ever get there. Well, why don't you focus on trying to get there? Trying to restrain that little red devil behind your pearly white gates. Now, if you don't have any teeth, then, you know, there's nothing guarding it. But sometimes we just need to learn to shut our lips. If you don't have any teeth, just shut your lips. This, zip it up, throw away the key, you know. But in a sermon like this, generally it doesn't reach the ones that need to hear it most. Someone can be sit here and they turned off as soon as I started talking about their sin. Well, hey, let me wake you up a little bit. If you don't think it's you that you know, it's everybody else, it is probably you.
Right.
Okay? So, and I'm not looking at anybody in particular. I'm looking around. I'm just going to look up right now. It's you. So, it's meant for you. It's meant for everybody. Okay? It's a shotgun blast. Take it. Whatever is in your heart that's wrong when it comes to this sermon, try to fix it.
Amen.
Ask God to help you. Hey, that's a good thing you can do. Hey, ask God to help you be a better Christian. Ask God to help you be better to your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
That's a good way to try to fix it, isn't it? And then receive the correction that you're getting in this sermon and fix it. Don't just keep going on and then like, oh, yeah, well, that wasn't meant for me. By the way, did you hear about so-and-so? They lost their job this week. You know, if they would have came to church three times last week, then they wouldn't have lost their job. That's so wicked to do stuff like that. It just is. So don't do that kind of stuff. So are you walking in the Spirit of God or the lust of your flesh this morning? Have you tried to rein your tongue in? We all need to rein our tongues in, don't we? It says no man can tame them. So I know nobody in this room has tamed their tongue because the Bible says no man or woman. All right? Especially women. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know, let's let go of the envy and strifes with our brothers and sisters in Christ and turn and start serving one another. All right? And this is a good start to the holiday season, right? Because the holidays are all about trying to get things right, right? You try to, you know, do better at the first of the year and everybody makes all these resolutions. Why don't you make a resolution right now and start it today instead of waiting till the first of the year? Why don't you make a resolution? I'm going to stop talking trash about my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to stop trying to lift myself up and try to look better than everybody else. And how about you esteem others more than you esteem yourselves?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, your new year is going to be off to a great start.
Yeah.
All right. So, and then, you know, if people are, you know that someone said something about you, hey, you just forgive them. Yeah. Just take it and move on.
Amen.
You know, if you can't, then just pray that they get their heart right and they come and ask you for an apology. Because look, I'm not going to say, and you know I believe this, that we have to forgive everybody that sins against us. That's not biblical. God doesn't forgive anybody unless they ask him. So that's why we're supposed to confess our sins to God on a daily basis. Because, you know, he's the one that's going to help us out in that area. So let's work on being peacemakers and not strife mongers, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Lord, some of these things are hard to deal with. And sometimes when you say thou art the man in our spirit, Lord, it's hard on us. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to be a congregation here, Lord, that when people come, they say, those people are disciples of the Lord. Those people are, this church is a great church because the way we treat each other. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.